Welcome to the Stuff We've Seen Holiday Podcast with your host, Jim, and his very special permanent co-host, Teal. Also starring Beatrice Arthur, Art Carney, Diane Carroll, the Jefferson Starship, and Harvey Korman. Sit back, relax, and get ready to enjoy some stuff. So how's it going, buddy? Happy holidays.
Ooh, it's the holiday time of year.
And that, you know what that means. It's time for a holiday special.
Oh, this is special. The holidays are special, and so it's time for us to do a holiday special and talk about some holiday films, I guess.
Or I don't know, are we including any type of holiday special? Are TV specials allowed?
I know you really love the Star Wars Christmas special, and so we can talk about that.
I'm sure nobody in the history of podcasts has ever talked about Life Day.
Life Day?
Yeah, isn't that what the Star Wars holiday special is all about?
Yes, yes, it's about Life Day. Oh, yeah.
Clearly, it's been a while since you have seen it, sir.
I couldn't handle really watching it. My daughter watched it about 2 years ago. She loved it.
Okay, so let me ask, I really did not think we were going to talk about the holiday special. And when I say that, I mean the holiday special. But, you know, a lot of people, you know, have been curious of the holiday special. My son, he found it online and he was, you know, because it's so notorious.
Yeah.
And he one day, I didn't know he had watched it, and he came to me and he said, "Dad, I saw it." And I knew exactly what he was talking about because of the look on his face. He's like, "Wow, that was bad." But I don't know about you, and I am curious to hear if you ever watched it. But I saw it when it debuted on TV.
Oh, you did? Oh.
And I think, I feel like it's a two, was it a 2 hour special with commercials?
I don't know. I think, yes, probably 2 hours with commercials.
Well, I mean, I would have been 8 years old at the time. And to say I was excited about getting a Star Wars holiday special, I mean, it was the ultimate gift because, you know, Star Wars had come out the year before and all I wanted was more Star Wars.
And you loved it.
So I went from so excited. I can't believe it. We got to make sure, you know, stop all the presses. We got to get to grandma's house so I can be in her living room watching the special. And then cut to 2 hours later when I was like, what the hell was that all about? I don't want to watch Chewie and the Wookiees.
It really is an amazing cultural artifact.
Well, but the best part was that even though it was horrible, it was one of those things that it felt like a dream in that, did I really see what I just saw? While it felt like some kind of weird dream, a year goes by and I kind of want to check back in and see, was it really as horrible as I thought? And, you know, once the holiday special came on TV, I just assumed next year we're going to see this thing, and then they never showed it again. And there was no internet to tell me that George Lucas has decided not to show it. So you just wait around.
Forever.
Yeah, so we're waiting around and it just never goes. And while you're going through this year after year, I had no idea not the only one that thought it was terrible. I didn't realize that the whole world did, including George Lucas.
Right.
So, you know, there's no big report in the newspaper that says George Lucas to ban holiday special for the next 40 plus years.
So
he'll be too busy cutting his own works and changing them until they don't recognize the movies
all
you
of
saw.
This, all of this is to say that, yes, holiday specials are fair game on our holiday special.
Great. I'm glad we cleared that up.
Yeah. And, a little disclaimer from me before we start talking about holiday films is...
That you don't like them?
No. It's more complicated than that. And it's going to get a little personal.
Now you have my attention.
So bear with me. So you know how I've talked about how my mother didn't really like animated films?
Correct.
Well, she really didn't like holiday films.
Holiday films or holiday animated specials?
Both. Okay. And so, okay, here's the other part is that as a kid, I didn't have TV.
I know this. Well, I don't know if other people realize you're not joking.
We had a TV and a VCR, but we didn't have any television reception or cable. So I couldn't watch things that were on TV. And so when the holidays came around, there weren't any of the holiday movies for me. And my mother would never go to the stoop to going to the theater to see one or rent one on VHS. And so I was not exposed to many holiday films until I was working at the video store.
That is fascinating.
Yeah. So in high school, I started. So I don't have a lot of sentimental attachment to holiday films. I didn't see It's a Wonderful Life even until I was in high school. I didn't see A Christmas Story until it was playing in the video store. So I don't have a childhood connection to a lot of these films. There is one film that is my personal Christmas film that I never tell anyone about because they think I'm crazy. But I'll tell you.
Is it an actual Christmas movie?
It has nothing to do with Christmas.
But it somehow, you tie it in with the holiday season.
Well, I think this must have been 1987, and the movie was recently out on VHS. It came out in July of 87. I haven't been able to track down the actual VHS release date. But
Spaceballs.
No. So
Stakeout.
So Christmas Eve was often kind of I tend to stay up late. I'm a bit of a night owl, and everyone would go to bed on Christmas Eve, and I would be awake for a while. And it got kind of it was always kind of a lonely time for me. And
Taxi Driver.
You're getting closer.
This is not a holiday film by any stretch, but Taxi Driver is best viewed by yourself late at night. It totally takes on an entirely different feel.
Yeah. Anyways. So anyhow, here's the movie that for many years, I would watch on Christmas Eve after everyone had gone to sleep. And I still do it from time to time. Full Metal Jacket.
Well, you know, there is a little bit of a holiday tie-in.
There's a little bit of a holiday tie-in. There is.
Sergeant Hartman.
Yes.
He has everybody like singing.
Sing Happy Birthday to Jesus. Yeah. So that became my own personal holiday film over the years. And still sometimes on Christmas Eve after everyone's gone to bed, I'll turn it on. Yeah.
Does in your holiday fantasy, does like a little elf sneak around to all the members of the family and smack them in the stomach with a blanket filled with soap? Like a special holiday blanket party?
Yeah, a special holiday blanket party, exactly. You know, the Tet Offensive is its own kind of holiday party.
Oh, man. Man, oh, man. And you are right. It did come out in July. Wow. Yeah, I remember having the poster for Full Metal Jacket where the tagline said, "In Vietnam, the wind doesn't blow. It sucks."
It sucks. So, yeah, so that's where I'm coming from when it comes to talking about holiday films.
Wow. Listen, gang, out there, our precious early adopters, if you're looking for the holiday pep talk, you're going to have to listen to me.
That's why I'm making this disclaimer at first, because I think you're a holiday cheer kind of guy. You like getting into stuff. And I also think you probably had a childhood attachment to some of these movies. The only other one that I have a childhood attachment to, and I call it a Christmas movie, is The Sound of Music.
I can see it's one of those films that you wouldn't know this because you didn't have a TV set, but they would play The Sound of Music during holidays on TV.
Right.
I don't know if it was Christmas necessarily, but you know, maybe around Easter time or Thanksgiving.
Okay.
Any of those when you might have a lot of families together watching, that's when The Sound of Music would show up. But so why is that? Were you watching that around?
I think that was something that my parents rented around the holidays.
Okay.
We were allowed to watch that. Just nothing with representations of Santa Claus.
Interesting. Wow. I don't know if I want to get into the whole psychology.
I don't know the whole psychology. Was like, but
I think Pine Natal came by and was nibbling on your toes.
Christmas morning was very Victorian in my house.
Hmm. Now, you know, this is going to be a segue off, and I don't know what we're going to talk about, but I feel like a great Christmas movie for you would be Krampus.
Never seen it.
Krampus is great. It's a lot of fun. Actually, this year might be the one year that we'll let the oldest one watch it. It's PG-13, but, you know, it's fun. It's about a bunch of real holiday party poopers getting their just desserts at the hand of Krampus.
Okay.
Yeah, so check that out. But that's not one of my holiday traditions. You are right. The holidays were a magical time in my family. Having a partial Scandinavian background at my grandmother's house, it was filled with all sorts of elves and trolls and things called tomtegubbar and all sorts of crazy things. And there weren't as many Christmas specials on when I was a kid, but mostly what I looked forward to was the Scrooge movies, A Christmas Carol.
Oh.
And the ones that, when I was really small, was the 1938 Reginald Owens as Scrooge.
Okay, and they would play that on TV?
That would be on TV, and sometimes maybe it would be on PBS or something, right. But that was one of my earliest memories of any kind of television movie program at all, was seeing this very scary ghost figure in black and white.
Wow.
Which was the Ghost of Christmas Future. I mean, yeah. That thing terrified me, and I must have been about three. But, you know, it also hooks you that once a year this thing comes back on, and it's like, it wasn't a dream.
Right. it wasn't a bad dream like the Star Wars. Yeah.
So, you know, that, and then it was great to see that there was another adaptation of Christmas Carol that gave you interesting side notes to the story,
right.
Which was the 51 Alistair Sim, which a lot of people regard as the best Christmas Carol. I kind of fluctuate between the two because I like a lot of aspects of the 38 version, but then the 51 delves into Ebenezer Scrooge's past in a way that the other films don't.
Is it more psychological?
No. It's just that you get a little bit more of the Scrooge and Marley relationship, and you see Marley on his deathbed.
Interesting. Okay. I haven't seen it.
What?
Yep.
See, you want to, you know, like, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I do believe that it was Teal that said, we should do a holiday special. And yet what we're finding out is he has not seen any holiday movies.
No, now, I have. I've seen a few holiday movies.
Okay, well, listen, we're not finished with Scrooge yet because there's a third adaptation.
Yes.
That really, it's funny, is I can't, it's apples and oranges. I can't really separate what I like about one or the other, but the Albert Finney 1970 Scrooge.
I have seen that.
That is a perennial favorite where I will watch it almost every year.
Okay.
And this is one where I went from having it on tape to having it on DVD to having a Blu-ray copy. And for several years in the late 90s, a theater that was very close to the apartment that I was living in, at the holiday time, they would show a Christmas classic every Saturday morning. And again, for several years, one of those weeks, it was Scrooge. And I worked with a guy at this plastics company, and he was obsessed with holiday specials like you wouldn't believe.
Huh.
I mean, he owned everything possible on video. And for the entire month of December, him and his family would watch these things 24 hours. Before the Freeform came up with 30 Days of Christmas, this is what this guy was doing. And when I first started work at the plastics company, how we kind of formed a bond was suddenly discovering our mutual love for the Rankin and Bass Christmas TV
right.
shows, for his absolute love of Scrooge, but he had never seen it on the big screen. And so when this local theater was showing it, like, you don't even know when you get to see that movie on the big screen. It's just so great. And I've seen that movie a good 20 or 30 times.
Wow.
Yes. And so you've seen that, but I bet you haven't seen it very often.
No, I've seen it maybe once or twice.
Wow.
And, you know, a lot of these movies, again, were played in the video store. So, A Christmas Story, I caught in fragments. I didn't sit down and watch it for years. I would just...
And I would be a Christmas Story early adopter. I'm probably one of the very few that can say I saw Christmas Story on its opening weekend release.
Wow. Okay.
And I didn't really like it. I didn't like it at first. I was 13, I think. Or almost 13, and all I remembered from the first viewing, and it was packed with kids, and it was really annoying, and I was already a film geek at that point, so I think I took the proceedings a little bit more seriously, and I hated that this narrator wouldn't shut up through the whole movie. That was my first thing.
Right.
Now, obviously, I came to accept it and appreciate it. It's become a standard and a classic, and TNT or whatever shows it 24 hours before Christmas, and I always end up catching moments of it. It is not one of my favorite movies, but, you know, it has become a classic in its own right.
So, okay, before, I need to go back to Scrooge for a second.
The Albert Finney.
Yeah, well, I think I cut you off, and you weren't done with your list of Scrooge movies.
Oh, well, after that, there are no other Scrooge movies.
You're missing one that has become
no.
a holiday favorite in my house.
No, it's only because obviously you have not. If you say the Muppets, no, because I hate that. There's a lot of people that think that's great, and it's not. It is not, and I could tell you why it's not. And I already know that it's got to be it. If you said favorite in the family, then it's the Muppets.
It's
here's
the Muppets.
The problem. It's the problem is that I know Jim Henson is no longer with us. And you and I were actually, we were close friends at the time, and it was a very sad moment.
It was a very sad day, yes.
But unfortunately, the voices that they had doing some of the Jim Henson characters during the time frame that the Muppets Christmas Carol was in just bothered me. The Kermit voice. I feel like they got better over the years, and it didn't bother me as much, like with some of the new Muppet movies they made. But it bothered me. And so I don't like it.
So.
I know, it's very weird, but when it comes to Scrooge movies, I'm very particular.
Okay, I know, I get it. My 6-year-old loves this movie. And when my 10-year-old got a part in A Christmas Carol,
She studied it?
No, she got a part as Tiny Tim. And and the 6-year-old was very confused that she was not going to be playing a frog.
That is funny. Oh, you know what? There actually is one more sort of, this is not really a film or
Bill
anything.
Murray?
But sort of No. That's unfortunately, it's not very good. Scrooged is terrible. But I do like some of the energy in a few of the scenes.
I am with you on that. I think it's terrible.
Yeah. I mean, look, I love Bill Murray.
It's not
my
least favorite holiday movie, though, but.
Okay, well, we're going to talk about that, I'm sure, before this program is over. But I will say that my other favorite adaptation of A Christmas Carol is A Prayer for Owen Meany.
Fascinating.
that's my take. Because I just...
Silence.
Yeah, you've read the book. I know.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't. You've read it, buddy. I know you have. And we won't go there, but I just love, like, we're reading it, and since being such a fan of A Christmas Carol, this idea of this, like, strange little child with the very weird high-pitched voice playing the ghost of Christmas future and scaring people, it was just a fascinating section of the book for me, that's all. Anyways... That's it, my Scrooge.
Is that version, is the Albert Finney Scrooge, it sounds like it's your number one holiday film?
You know what?
You've seen it the most, and
to give an award for the one that I like the most, I guess that's my go-to film.
Okay, yeah, that's your go-to film. I'm leaving out holiday specials for this, because I know you love Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
We did watch it, and the kids, they're so-so on liking these specials, but my oldest sort of carries the tradition, but it's sadly, it's dying a little bit. The kids just aren't into the specials the way I was, and I have seen it now. I mean, that's the whole thing. When you get to be the age that I'm at, and you've seen these things almost every year, at some point, you know, all you have is your memories.
It's
of
true.
What it was like when you were a kid. And, you know, my kids,
I don't have those
afraid
memories.
Of them. I know you don't, but like when I was afraid of the Bumble when I was like three.
Right.
My kids aren't, but like, I don't understand, like, what, how did they grow up differently than me that I had such innocence that those things really frightened me?
It's the internet. I blame the internet.
I'm gonna blame it.
Okay, here's another holiday special that is a family favorite. Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas.
Ooh, you know what? For years, it was hard to ever see that.
Yes.
Recently, they started showing it again, and I'm going to geek out here. My wife, huge Emmett Otter fan.
Mine too. Ooh. That's how this became a whole thing in our family. My wife loves Emmett Otter. She grew up with it. We got a DVD years ago, and we're still, you know, playing that.
Oh, man. We just got right the day after Thanksgiving, the vinyl, they do record store day for Black
right,
Friday.
Right, right, yeah.
They had a vinyl release of Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas, and of course we picked it up.
Nice.
It is awesome, because it's the Paul Williams music.
Yeah. Yeah, and
the songs are amazing.
The songs are amazing. I think it's a great Christmas special. I really like it.
It is. And so I'm going to give you thumbs up on that.
Yeah, it's about the spirit of Christmas in a really nice way.
Now, did you not see that? Or did you see that when you were working at the video store? Did you not see that until you met your wife?
I did not see it until I met my wife.
So that's kind of cool that, you know, you didn't have a childhood with these kind of holiday memories, but you've kind of made some new traditions
exactly.
And been introduced to a lot.
Yeah, and I've really tried to seek out some holiday films for my kids because they like them. Prancer is one they really like.
I didn't see. No.
What?
It's not out of my, that was out of my generation. I don't know. I'm not seeing no Prancer. My kids, they don't like most of these specials anyways. I'm not going to introduce them to that.
I don't think your kids would like it.
See, and that means I won't. No, yeah. I mean, I like the fact that there's all these, you know,
that's
Christmas
part
movies
of it for me is there's a point at which I don't really care if I like the movie. If the kids like it, that's fine with me.
Yeah. So here's one. I'm going to give you one that now that I know that you have no history with holiday movies, then you certainly wouldn't have seen this. And the reason I did is because this was a favorite of my grandma's. And it would show up a lot on TV growing up, but now you might catch this on Turner Classic Movies. So if we get this episode up in time and you hear it and you're interested, check out and see if it's on Turner Classic Movies before the holidays. It's a movie from 1967 with Dick Van Dyke, Barbara Felden, who played Batgirl on the Batman TV show. It's called Fitzwillie.
I have never seen it.
It's directed by Delbert Mann, and it features one of the very first original soundtrack scores from an up-and-coming composer named Johnny Williams, as he was credited on the film. Yeah, and this Johnny, he was a bit of a go-getter,
right?
And he eventually went on to make film scores for films like Jaws and Star Wars
and
Raiders
every,
of the Lost Ark.
And every Spielberg film.
Yes, but his first major contribution to film music was the score for Fitzwillie.
Now, and this is a holiday film?
Okay, so here's the deal. It is a holiday film. It's an amazing caper movie. So there's a subgenre that we could maybe explore a little later.
A
but
holiday
it's a caper?
Caper
film. Yeah, so Dick Van Dyke is the head butler for this rich widow, played by Dame Judith Evans, I believe.
Okay.
And she is an eccentric. And she's also very generous. And she's pretty much given her fortune away. And Dick Van Dyke is from a family of butlers who have taken care of this family. And he loves this old lady and he cherishes her. And he doesn't want to see her thrown out in the street. So in order to keep up the ruse that she is a rich, eccentric millionaire, he and the whole butler and wait staff, they pull off all these crazy schemes and scams and robberies. And they funnel it through an organization that I think they actually call it the Widows and Orphans.
Oh, this sounds great.
So it's amazing, the comedy caper. And so the eccentric woman has this crazy idea. She's trying to create a thesaurus for words that people always spell incorrectly, or they right. get the meaning wrong, so that she creates a whole thesaurus of what people really meant to say.
Okay.
And she hires a secretary, which of course they can't really afford, Barbara Feldon, to help her.
Wait, where is the holiday part of this?
You know, does it have to? You know what? You always complain that we don't actually talk about what these movies are to get people.
Oh, intrigued. No. So, I'm glad. Yeah.
So they've got crisis averted. Essentially, anytime the eccentric lady writes these huge checks, they infiltrate the check and they just tear it up so that she doesn't spend money.
Right. Okay.
So they have just secured all of the funds to keep her going for a while, and she ends up writing like a huge check to some organization.
Right, and they can't get it in time.
Well, they can't get it because the secretary mailed it, and she is very, very suspicious of Fitzwillie and all of his gang of possible thieves.
Right.
So she's on to them, and so now with Christmas approaching and deadline looming, they have to pull off a major, major heist to replace all the money that got mailed out to the charity. And they have hitched this amazing plot to rob Gimbel's on Christmas Eve.
Oh, that's great.
And it's elaborate. And now they're trying to pull this off, not get caught by the secretary. And the whole, you know, caper is just awesome.
Okay. Well,
it features a very, very young, in one of his first roles, Sam Waterston.
Interesting. Okay. Well, this is going on my holiday playlist.
It's a great, great movie. They used to show it almost every year around Christmas time, and then for years they stopped.
So what about, so here's one I saw as a kid. So,
Wait, whoa. Sorry. You saw a holiday film as a child?
I saw a holiday film as a child. Do you want me to get into the story? It's complicated.
It wasn't Last Tango in Paris, right? Because I don't know whether that was set at the holidays, but I think as we've talked about last week, that's not a holiday film.
No, this is actually just a classic. Christmas in Connecticut.
Yeah.
I saw it.
All right.
It
sounds like about what your mom might let you watch.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. So, let's see. What else? Yeah, no, that's I think, the only one I saw as a kid.
Wow. All right. So
maybe White Christmas.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up. It's almost like you're a clairvoyant, because that is a film that I went my entire life, up until a few years ago, having never seen. I'm going there. I'm going to tell you the story.
Okay, and this isn't the only film. Okay, let's go there.
All right, well, no, I think we have to go there.
Yeah.
So, obviously, I knew some of the tunes, and I knew Bing Crosby was in it, and for whatever reason, I wasn't that interested in seeing the film. In recent years, I was interested because I know it was shot in VistaVision.
Right.
And it was one of the first widescreen processes, and, you know, kind of the Technicolor look with the VistaVision negative. From a film geek standpoint, I was interested in seeing it, still never saw it. So I meet my now wife, and this is, we're now going about, like, I don't guess, like 11, 12 years ago.
Right.
First time I am spending the holidays with her family. And they were in Arizona at the time. And we, you know, are there having our holiday dinner. And afterwards, the dad puts on the family's favorite holiday film, which is White Christmas, which I really wasn't that interested in seeing. But I'm like, you know what? Okay, got to watch this thing. And we're watching it. And I'm not really enjoying it, especially, you know what happens with these family holiday movies? Everybody knows all the words and the lyrics of the song. So everybody is in on jokes that I just can't get. But there is some of that sort of 1950s comedy speak that I found kind of amusing.
Right.
And I'm sort of half paying attention to it, half doing other things, reading magazines, whatever. But then towards the end of the movie, like the last third, they're getting ready to put on this big holiday show up at this Vermont inn for this old general or major, whatever he was, of their squad from World War II, and they're going to have all these people come up. But they decided they're going to put on a minstrel show. And suddenly, my eyes go right to the TV screen, and my jaw is dropping. And I'm like, what?
Yes.
It was to me, it was so shocking and jarring that later I had to pull my now wife aside and was like, what the hell is going on with this movie? It was so shocking that, you know, every year then that I was with the family, this was beyond. And slowly but surely, most of the film, and not that part, I grew to kind of enjoy, and we have a copy on Blu-ray now. It's a very gorgeous looking color print of it. But the things that bother me are not just the minstrel show, which is sort of the coup de grace of the
right.
of this horridness of what Hollywood was like back then. Then I'm really, really aware of, are there any people of color in this entire right. movie? And there was, I think, a porter on a train sequence.
Right, of course.
That was a person of color. And that was it. And it's just, it really, that kind of sticks out at me where, you know, that there's such an insensitivity yeah. and a lack of understanding and compassion or empathy.
I got to say, though, that as far as holiday film minstrel shows go, that's not the most offensive one.
Well, would it be the sort of prequel? The first movie, Holiday Inn?
It would be Holiday Inn.
Where they actually are in blackface and do a minstrel show?
That's the one I'm talking about, yeah.
I think it's during the Independence July segment.
It is. yes, they do a minstrel show in blackface. It is.
Yeah, all they needed was a cameo of D.W. Griffiths if he was still alive during that point to make it complete. And you just, yes, I can watch White Christmas, but I can't watch Holiday Inn.
Well, who can? I mean, this is a movie that deserves to be buried alongside a Confederate flag.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, we're going to divulge again from the topic, which is holiday films. But talk about something that ruins the movie, and I could only watch the movie once because of it, because it is so offensive, is Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Absolutely, yeah.
I mean, it is something that ruins the entire film.
It ruins the entire film. I've actually thought of doing my own cut of it. So that I can, because I think my daughter would love the movie, but I can't, I just can't, you know.
Well, I mean, we could have this on another. I think that you, again, what I said last week, I hold true.
I know,
cannot
I know.
Not shy away from controversy, but you got to put it in the context. You can't just let your daughter say, hey, this is an awesome movie. You're going to love every frame of it. I know, not Mickey Rourke.
That would be great.
Mickey Rooney is basically doing an Asian caricature.
Oh, yeah. No, she would.
One of the most offensive portrayals ever on screen.
She would find it offensive. Automatically.
Yeah, but don't you think that she, like, you need to say, look at,
oh, yes,
as a historical,
yeah, I do.
This is something that Hollywood thought was acceptable.
Yeah. Oh, God. Well, yes. And then you see Holiday Inn. So Holiday Inn is a movie I would not recommend for if you're getting together with the family over the holidays. Don't watch Holiday Inn.
There's probably certain families in this country that you could watch that with no problem. But yeah, I know.
Yeah. So, again, okay, so what's your least favorite holiday film?
You know what? The least favorite holiday film I have is probably one that I've never seen because I just stared clear of it, right? I don't know.
Fred Claus.
You know what? Fred Claus is pretty bad. I was looking forward, you know, I think when Vince Vaughn does the Vince Vaughn thing, it can work really well.
Yeah.
And then, and I thought, well, it's the same team that brought us Wedding Crashers, so
right.
this
they
has got
to
be good.
To.
But no, there's no story. Sometimes I think Hollywood just says, let's just put something together because, hey, if it's got holiday in the title, we're going to get a year play.
We'll get once a year play. Okay, what are your feelings?
Well, what about you? Wait, you keep quizzing me, but I'm curious, is there anything since you've been introduced to the whole idea of the holiday film, is there something that you look forward to seeing every year or so?
No.
It's okay.
No, that's not
folks, folks, this is a classic stuff we've seen holiday episode, isn't it?
No, that's not entirely true. But it's more that I look forward to my kids watching them.
Well, that okay. That still gives you some enjoyment. So yeah. I guess then haven't gotten to the age where they're watching Love Actually then.
No, not Love Actually. But okay, they like Elf.
Oh, yeah. I mean, all the kids love that. I love Elf for a while, but the last third, it sags.
Yeah.
And drags.
And they really love Home Alone. And, you know, I have my own feelings on the movie, but my six-year-old sits there and giggles every time those guys get hit in the face with bricks.
I remember I just had returned from school. I might have been living with you at the time. And I was working back at the movie theater for the winter break, and it just came out, and we went and saw it at midnight, and it was a total howl. We loved it. And then when I got back, you were very curious because it was such a phenomenon that I remember going with you to see it because you wanted to see it. And I remember, you know, your evaluation was, well, you know, I understand why kids love it.
Yeah. You know? And I still do.
Yeah, it's not supposed to be you know, a sophisticated film that you're to critique on a level. I mean, it's silly.
It's a silly slapstick, basically a cartoon almost.
Plus it ties in. I didn't see it obviously as a kid because it wasn't around when I was a kid, but I understand little kids are identifying with what Kevin Arnold is.
Absolutely.
Like,
and it's,
imagine if I was alone, exactly. What would I do?
It's a really fun fantasy and the kid comes out on top. You said you wanted to ask me something.
Oh, well, I guess, I mean, you know, so Love Actually.
Oh, Love Actually, yes.
What are your thoughts on that? Because I saw it in the theater when it came out, and I kind of enjoyed it. And I said, you know what, I bet you in several years, this thing's going to be on all the time in Christmas time. And I was right.
Yep.
A lot of people love it. And I probably saw it more than I ever imagined I would because my wife really likes the movie.
Okay. I have seen it once.
Really?
Yes.
When was that once?
That must have been in 2004. When did it come out?
It came out, I think, 2003.
Okay, so yeah, I saw it a year later when it was out on video.
It's not going to be as much fun to talk about that since you've only seen it one time because I have. And I
remember it fairly well.
I feel like it's just done. Like everybody, like there's people will talk about why they love it. And then there's the people that talk about what a horrible, like creepy movie it is. And it is creepy, but it's just, you know, Richard Curtis, I do like some of his work, but he kind of suffers from that thing where he just wants to throw it all on the screen, goes in a million directions. And then inevitably he isn't able to complete all the threads. So you have a bunch of storylines that are kind of not wrapped up.
Right.
You know, and there's this whole thing that with the Alan Rickman character having sort of an affair, but that gets muddied at the end.
But does it fulfill the holiday movie needs?
I don't know. I guess this is an interesting thing where sometimes anything that seems to be set around Christmas time by default suddenly gets this holiday film designate.
Right.
And this movie we have not talked
about Shane Black, though.
Ooh. Okay, so you know what? We're going a million directions, as always.
Yeah,
right?
No, we're
not going to talk about Love Actually because that's done. I could go on and on about the one who has the crazy brother in the hospital, Laura Linney, and how terribly they treat her character and how her brother's like this psychopath
that
the only thing worse they could have done with her is that he could have killed her on Christmas or something. They could have gone all Patch Adams on us. which, by the way, I don't know, is that set in the holidays? But man, talk about an Australian film comedy. That movie, it came out at Christmas time. It was billed as a holiday movie.
Yep.
And that has one of the most jarring, someone gets killed in the middle, talk about a downer movie ever.
That is not a movie I'm ever going to see again.
Okay, so now let's go back.
Yeah.
You talked about Shane Black. Now, he loves to tie the holidays into sort of his storylines with scripts he writes. And yet somehow he doesn't seem to have that same passion amongst fans who like to say, Die Hard is this great holiday
movie.
Exactly.
For some reason, Iron Man 3 is not included in...
And The Nice Guys or Lethal Weapon.
Yeah.
They're all take place around the holidays, but yet, you know, they don't seem to have that same stigma that Die Hard has, where
exactly.
That's now become a holiday film, which I'm going to ask you, Die Hard, holiday film or not holiday film?
Not holiday film.
Correct. It is a film set around the holidays, not a holiday film.
It has nothing to do with the holidays. I mean, maybe you can... No.
It didn't come out in the holidays. It wasn't meant to be a holiday
movie. No, it's not a holiday film. It just, yeah, it's not trying to capture, and that's what I was saying earlier, like, does it fulfill the holiday needs? Like, there has to be some sort of theme about giving and goodwill and forgiveness and redemption.
Well, I mean, Love Actually does have some of that.
It does,
and
yeah.
It's all about, I mean, Christmas is wrapped up into the whole theme of it. So that is okay. But here's a movie that also gets the holiday treatment just because it's set around the holidays. It did not come out at the holidays. I never thought of it as a holiday film growing up. Gremlins.
Not a holiday film.
No, but it takes place around the holidays. Yeah. And you know what? Here's the caveat.
Lots of movies take place around the holidays, but...
If that makes your holiday season to watch one of these movies at the holidays and that's your tradition, I'm not going to stop you.
Hey,
that's great.
Me
neither. Hey, you're allowed.
Hey, I watch Full Metal Jacket at the holidays. Who am I to judge?
Yeah, you've just changed everything with that. And I wish that was just like some kind of comic setup, but I know you, and I know that you must have watched that around the holidays every year.
Yes. For many years, yeah. Okay, one film that I feel the need to talk about, and the reason I want to say something about this is because it is like the incarnation of everything my mother hated about Christmas.
Okay.
Which is to say, my mother loves Christmas, but in kind of a Victorian way, not in a Madison Avenue way, this sort of Madison,
right.
You know, the Madison Ave creation of sort of these representations of Santa and elves. She found all that stuff very
disturbing.
Gauche, I think, is the word she would use.
She doesn't like the commercialism of Christmas.
She didn't like the commercialism of Christmas. And the movie that I think for me hits that nerve the most is Polar Express. I find this movie to be, aside from the creepy, uncanny valley, I find it to be all about commercialism, all about stuff that the holiday is not about. It's not about the spirit of giving, really, to me. And I find the Santa to be just grotesquely creepy. I find the whole thing creepy. And cold and sterile, and it does not fill my heart with joy. And I understand other people like this movie because they saw it when they were kids. But, again, who am I to judge? But I really don't like this film at all, and I don't allow my children to watch it.
Well, we didn't grow up with the book. I have read the book. We have the book now, and the story, believe it or not, in much simpler terms, it does follow, you know, this idea of the story. But I think the message that I remember from watching the Polar Express was that it was about, you know, believing in magic, I guess, and this, you get older and you get more cynical and then you no longer remember it. And there was this thing with this bell, and he could have had any gift he wanted, but he just picked the little bell. So I don't have a problem with that message. I guess that I wasn't a big fan of when Aerosmith showed up as elves. That kind of took me out of the movie a little bit. Matter of fact, there's this guy that I used to work with, and I saw the film, and I went and saw it in IMAX 3D.
Yeah.
It was when, you know, IMAX 3D was first a thing. Yep. And I didn't want to see the movie at first. I had kept on hearing that the 3D was amazing. And I was like, all right, I'll go see it. And I was very captivated by the experience.
Understandably,
in IMAX, with the sound, that the train, runaway train on the ice, it was really one of the most fantastic sequences that I had ever experienced in the theater. I walked away really kind of in awe because it was a very overwhelming visual and audio experience in IMAX. I still had issues with the kind of dead look of the characters. I felt that it went on a little bit too long after he saw Santa. It just, you know, they didn't know when to kind of wrap it up. But I didn't have a super aversion to it. But the guy that I worked with, and I told him, oh, you know, you got to see it in IMAX and all this stuff. He came back and he was just, he hated it.
Yes.
And where he felt it went wrong and there was no return for him was when Aerosmith showed up as Elvis.
He's right.
That is like kind of tying in with that whole commercialism
thing.
That's
exactly what I'm talking about.
And so I know he hates it. And I myself have not watched, aside from IMAX, which I saw it in two different years in IMAX, I have not been able to watch it from beginning to end on TV because it just doesn't look the same.
No.
It looks, all the creepiness of the CGI stands out in a really bad way on TV. And my kids, I guess they kind of like it. I don't know if there's something that's so awful in it that you can't show your kids the Polar Express. It's not like vaping or something.
I'm just trying to carry on my mother's, you know, feelings here.
Now your kids are going to like have a podcast in 20 years and like, my dad wouldn't let me watch this amazing movie, Polar Express.
Well, they have seen it.
Oh, they have?
Yes, they saw it once. And
did they like it or they thought it was creepy?
They thought it was creepy.
Okay, well, that's good. So you don't even have to not show it to them. They don't want to see it.
They don't really want to see it. No, it's not a very fun movie. I mean, it's got some set pieces and stuff, but there's not much comedy in it.
Is that a prerequisite for holiday movies? Has to have comedy?
Well, no, but that's why they like Elf and Home Alone, and even Emmett Otter has some comedy.
I'm trying to think now, as we get close to the end of this holiday special, what other... Oh, you know what? Let's talk about this. This is a film where I kind of liked it when I saw it in the theater, but I felt it went on long in certain places. And I also felt it was mean-spirited in a few spots that kind of took me out of it. But it's another one that was a favorite of my wife's. And so I ended up watching it, you know, year after year. And over time, the great holiday shows, they grow on you because they have memorable moments and lines you can quote. And that is Christmas Vacation.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm glad you brought that up. I was going to earlier, and I had slipped my mind.
There's just stuff that's very funny, and even though there are parts I don't like,
overall,
I guess get through them.
Yeah, overall, it's a really enjoyable movie. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's one that, you know, every year I think our family watches that, and it's already been on. We haven't watched the uncut, which, you know, you tend to like to pop the Blu-ray in and watch the, you know, no interruptions and commercials, but
right.
We've seen it with commercial interruptions already while we were decorating.
Okay. Yeah.
It's a good decorating movie.
We haven't gotten to it yet this year.
As a matter of fact, that's where, when Love Actually has been on, that's usually when I've been decorating. So I can kind of check in on it while my wife's watching it. And I don't have to really focus because it's a long movie. And for every good part, there's another part that's like, eh.
Yeah.
And it has that awful character arc with the guy from The Walking Dead. And
And
he's in love with his best friend's newlywed, and he does one of the worst things imaginable, which he shows up at their house, I guess hoping that he doesn't answer the door, and he's upstairs, never pays attention while he's out there with like cue cards telling Keira Knightley how much he really loves her. I just think it's a dick move. You know, and I think a lot of people do. Like, it's a thing where it just doesn't work. I don't know what Richard Curtis' intention was, but it's awful.
Yes, it's awful.
You know, so those are the kind of things that happen in that show that just that kind of ruins it
the
for me.
Yeah.
But then there's the Rowan Atkinson part where he's trying to wrap this gift.
How come there's no Mr. Bean Christmas movie? I would watch that.
I bet you would. I don't know. I'm not a big Mr. Bean guy. I was always more of a Blackadder guy. But
okay, I would like to call attention to a little movie. Maybe it's a TV special. I don't, it's from 1982 called The Snowman. Have you seen this?
I'm waiting to hear more.
Okay, it's a beautifully animated little story about a kid who makes a snowman on Christmas Eve, and it comes to life and takes him on an adventure to the North Pole to see Santa Claus, and it's just a beautifully hand-drawn animation, about 25 minutes long. Really worth watching if you can find it somewhere.
I bet you I've seen it somewhere, you know, years ago, but it's not ringing any bells.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think that the holidays, everybody, these are all the movies everybody has seen. You know, there's a lot of films that I'm just not that big a fan of, like the Santa Claus.
Oh, yes. The Santa Claus. Yep.
Yeah. I finally saw the first one after 20 years, and it was like, okay. And I saw another one on an airplane once.
How many of those Santa Claus movies are there? At least three.
I don't know. There's got to be three. But I bet you if they come a-knocking, Tim Allen will sign up for another one.
Well, of course. And, yeah, we haven't even gotten into, like, Christmas horror films, but I'm okay with skipping that the way I'm skipping Die Hard. Krampus, yeah.
Krampus is good. But you know what's interesting? To my knowledge, Pixar, right?
Yeah.
They've never done a holiday movie, have they?
No.
That's interesting. I feel like they should get on that.
Well, you know, actually, Coco is a holiday movie.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Not a Christmas
holiday, but yeah, right. Day of the Dead.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, that's actually a pretty good movie.
Yes, I really enjoyed it. Okay, so last holiday thoughts?
Well, they're going to be happening. lots to do. I know that when you listen, I don't know how many more episodes you're going to hear from us before the end of the year. Maybe one more, maybe two, who knows? But we'll be back in 2019 if you don't hear from us sooner.
We may have to do another holiday episode.
Oh, really? Like the 4th of July or something?
Yeah, actually.
Slip holiday in it.
We're going to do every holiday. We'll be back for our Valentine's episode.
Yes, that's right. It was Hitch will be the movie we'll talk about. well, happy holidays, everyone.
And happy holidays. Enjoy your holiday viewing, even if it's Polar Express. And, you know, as long as it makes you happy and fills you with joy, enjoy your holidays.
Yeah, you know what, you know, gang, you can send, if we've missed a holiday favorite of yours, send us a note at feedback@jimanddale.com and tell us, and maybe on our next episode we will do a shout out, because, you know, that's the thing, when we do these episodes, there are tons and tons of movies that we could mention on a particular topic, and we may just have forgotten and something has slipped, so that, you know, there could be a great holiday movie that we didn't talk about and we're sorry.
There's many. I could go down a list right now, but I'm not going to. We've touched on some really good ones, so.
All right. Well, wait a minute. Now, but before the last thing you say, just give me one on this magical list you're talking about.
The Nightmare Before Christmas.
Oh, yeah. You know what? Why is that always a Christmas movie and not a Halloween movie? It could go either way. Most of the time it's spent in Halloween Town.
It's true, but, you know, we kind of watch it in November.
Well, that's when it originally came out. So
yeah, so
you're splitting the difference.
You split the difference on that movie, exactly.
all right, Gabe. Well, that was good. I'm glad you mentioned that. Yeah. Anyways, happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Safe travels. Bye.
What's that?
That's a Christmas present from a very dear friend of mine. That's right. Attaboy, Clarence.